This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In February, the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association launched a petition campaign called San Antonio First. Their stated goal was to put three issues before voters that would change the San Antonio Charter, which is the city's rules for governance. The charter amendments would limit the salary of the city manager to 10 times the lowest paid full-time employee of the city and cap the manager's tenure at 8 years. Another would give the fire union the sole right to declare when it has reached an impasse with the city on contract negotiations and unilaterally require that the city go into binding arbitration rather than seek recourse in the court system. The third charter change proposal would drastically reduce the threshold for any referendum. It would lower the required number of signatures to 20,000. The current standard is 10 times that number of registered voters in the previous municipal election. Right now, that number is about 70,000. It would also extend the amount of time that could be spent in gathering those signatures. And the amendments would also remove the current prohibitions preventing referenda on major issues such as council appropriations, tax levies, and utility rates. Opponents of the amendments say that amendment in particular would have dangerous ramifications. We're talking about these proposed charter changes today. I'm joined by Christian Archer, who is helping lead a political action committee looking to educate the public about these proposed charter changes and defeat them at the polls in November. This is a pre-recorded source, so we can't take your calls today, but this issue will be coming back as this election approaches. Please call in and sound off at that time. And Christian Archer, welcome to The Source. Well, it's great to have you here. So tell me, the name of your PAC is Secure San Antonio's Future. Why that name?
Well, I think that, Dave, you had said that the third one was dangerous. All three of these propositions are dangerous to the future of the city. And I think, our job is in the campaign is to make sure that people are educated about what each of these propositions will do and the impact and the economic impact across all 10 city council districts. So the PAC started organizing about a little over 2 weeks ago. We've had great response to the PAC. And I think the more we educate people about these propositions, the more informed they are, the likelihood that they will vote against these propositions.
These proposed charter changes are now still working through the system. If they were dangerous, I mean, how would they be able to get all of the signatures that they've gotten so far?
Well, I think that it's a great question, and we're actually going out and talking with the people who actually signed the petitions to make sure that they were aware of what they signed. And in the Express News, there was a column by Brian Chasnoff where he went and selected a few of the people who signed the petitions. And the truth of the matter is, Dave, firefighters standing in front of a Walmart saying, "Do you support firefighters?" Most people would say yes, and they went up and they signed the petitions, not fully understanding what impact these propositions would have on the future of the city. And I think that it's a lot easier to get a petition. It's a lot harder to say, well, let me take 20 minutes and explain to you what each one of these propositions does. That's the job of the campaign, and it's a difficult job.
Why would the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association try to pass charter amendments that are going to be dangerous to the city of San Antonio?
You know, Dave, unfortunately, this has been an ongoing battle over the health care. It's been 3 or 4 years battle with the city manager, and really in the
end. So it comes down to their union contract.
It really does. I mean, this is really about creating leverage to be able to get a better deal. And unfortunately, they've taken this route, which is dangerous on many levels. That's really the entire intent, is to create leverage against the elected officials and the city management.
So this isn't the first time that the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association, the Firefighters Union, have done this tactic. I mean, they've gathered petitions before and were able to derail the streetcar.
Yeah, that's right. They put on T-shirts that said streetcars or fire trucks, and it was it was really a false argument in the same way that these are false arguments in these different petitions, because on the surface they sound good. Well, of course we want more people to vote on more things, but the impact that they have, they never bother explaining, And that's what we're hopefully we'll get into some of the meat of the impacts of these propositions today.
When they were fighting against Streetcar, the union had a consultant named Greg Brockhaus. He's now District 6 city council person. What side is he going to be on in this?
Yeah, Greg in B session openly said that he was that he would follow the mayor. So the mayor was going to go door to door to help explain why these propositions are bad for the future of the city. And Greg Brockhaus said he was going to go, you know, after the mayor to every single door to campaign for the propositions. I think he's been working with the Professional Firefighters Union for a number of years, and since he's got elected on council, I think he, you know, he believes in the leverage that they're trying to create.
The slogan behind these charter changes is San Antonio first and let the people decide. That was printed on all the boxes of petitions that was turned in. And Chris Steele, the president of the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Union, Firefighters Association, says this is a pro-democracy effort.
Well, okay. you know, I think, look, if you look at California, right, the California ballot, they'll have several hundred items to vote on. And people go into the ballot box today, Dave, not knowing who the judges are, right? And the more lengthy you make this ballot, the more you've got to explain what each one of these propositions would do and how they're going to impact your future. And so, you know, I think the easy thing to say is let us vote on everything, but it creates an air of uncertainty all across the city. And I think the dangerous part is right now San Antonio has a AAA bond rating, and most people just don't know what that means, right? We're the only major city in America with a AAA bond rating, and what that means in simple terms is we can borrow more money to invest in infrastructure needs.
Well, actually, it means you can borrow money more cheaply.
More cheaply, that's right. So a lower interest rate, which allows us to borrow more to be able to do the street expansion, drainage projects, parks, libraries, sidewalks. We just passed the One SA bond campaign for $850 million worth of infrastructure. Because we have a AAA bond rating, we were able to borrow $850 million over the next 5 years and build very important projects all across the city in all 10 council districts. What this does is it will literally provide a line item veto on projects that one side of town may not want the other side of town to have. It literally creates a line item veto across the board, not only for the city of San Antonio and important needs for the city, but with CPS and SAWS.
Okay, so walk me through that. So a side of town is going to get a land bridge over to connect two parks. And another side of town says that's ridiculous, and they're able to gather, if this charter change passes, 20,000 signatures, get it on the ballot, and then what?
Yeah, let me give you a great example. We kicked off the 1SA bond campaign in District 7 regarding a massive drainage project. And the drainage project was long overdue and needed attention right away. It's a $70 million project that stretches out over three of the big bond campaigns.
Okay.
So one side of town is getting that drainage project, and the other side of town might...
So you're saying this is going to pit one side of town against the other, also different ideologies in San Antonio against the other, and give them a mechanism in order to basically gum up the works of how a city operates. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We're talking to Christian Archer. He is one of the heads of a political action committee called Secure San Antonio's Future, which is leading the charge against a campaign, against a three charter proposals that will be coming to the voters in November. The Source continues after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We have a pre-recorded interview with Christian Archer. He is one of the individuals leading a political action committee called Secure San Antonio's Future. They're taking on the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association's charter changes that have been proposed, which would they say cripple San Antonio. That's what the mayor says. Mayor Ron Nirenberg says it would deform the city's government. But first, Christian Archer, this is not actually for sure on the ballot in November, right?
Well, I think that the petitions were validated, and I think it will make the ballot in August.
But that still has to be determined because it's got to has to be approved by the city council. They have an August deadline to do that.
That's right. In mid-August, they'll vote. And because of the validated petitions, it's very likely to be on the ballot. And Dave, you know, this is a funny thing for San Antonio, right? So I've been involved in a lot of campaigns, and usually they're progressive campaigns that say vote yes for term limit. You know, to extend term limits, vote yes for pre-K for SA or for bonds or for things that we have growing forward. And this time it's a vote no campaign. It's vote no on all three propositions. And that's it's a strange thing for me to even make the logos that say vote no when we've been a vote yes city for so long.
Is there any chance that the Firefighters Union could withdraw these proposed charter changes before that August deadline to put this on the ballot?
I don't think that they can now because of the petitions being validated. But two, they don't want to. They want to move forward, and they want to use this, again, as a leverage against the elected officials and against city management.
But if they get the contract that they want, then they would lose that intention.
Unfortunately, I think that that because of the validation of the signatures in the petition, that these propositions are going to be on the ballot anyway.
This is this odd tactic to be taking for the Firefighters Union to, if you say what you're saying is correct, to cripple the city of San Antonio. Ron Nuremberg says this would deform the city charter. You're saying we would lose our AAA rating. This would almost make the city ungovernable. How would that benefit the Firefighters Union? I mean, they're still dependent upon having a functional city in order to get paid.
Well, think about this, Dave. Imagine if you were applying for a job. And we're the seventh largest city in America, and we need professional management in the city manager's office. And imagine if you were going to apply for that job, and I said, instead of paying you to be the seventh, to be the city manager in the seventh largest city, I was going to pay you the value of the 150th largest city in America. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to fire you on this date, whether you're doing a good job or not. You are automatically fired on this date. It's ridiculous.
Right. So that's addressing the issue charter change proposal that would limit the salary of the city manager to 10 times the lowest paid full-time employee and cap the manager's tenure at 8 years.
But it doesn't.
Okay, I understand how that would hurt the ability of the city to attract top-tier talent. The question I'm asking is about if the Firefighters Union, their future is connected to having a healthy, functional, prosperous city. If these charter changes pass and what you say is true and the city is not going to be high functioning and prosperous, then that's going to eventually impact their pay and the strength of their association.
It is incredibly short-sighted. It is built just for the moment, and these propositions will have a long-lasting effect on the future of the city. It's short-sighted, and it's only used as a wedge to get the best deal that they can right now for their health care. And, you know, unfortunately, we are now going to have this battle in November over these terrible propositions for the future of the city.
Now, to that point you brought up about proposed charter changes that would deal with the city manager's position, limiting their pay and also giving them a term limit. I wonder, first of all, is that even possible? Can you put a cap on the city manager's term, one employee of the city, and cap their tenure? Is that something even possible?
Well, that's a proposition. Now, whether or not it will pass the scrutiny of the courts, where I think it would all land if these were to pass, I just don't know how to answer that question, Dave, but this is the proposition that voters will vote on. But Dave, let me also just make this one point, and that is for a number of years, our city manager, Cheryl Scully, has been recruiting and training the next city managers, right? When you just go one step beneath the city manager, there are a number of top-tier candidates to be the next city manager. They will all leave. I mean, they just have to, because this would be a job without a future. And why would you want to stay here when you could go to another city where they respect and honor their city managers and they want them to stay as long as they can get them to stay? They don't turn around and say, this is the date we're going to fire you on.
But as I understand it, that these charter changes, if they pass, they will not impact Cheryl Scully.
It would not impact Cheryl. It's for every future city manager coming down the line, which is actually even worse, because then how do you attract? You know, I think Cheryl has served, 13 years as city manager. I don't know how much longer she's going to be in the city as city manager, but let's say it's a long time. It's 3 or 4 years from now. Even then, how do we attract top-tier talent in the way that we were able to attract Cheryl away from Phoenix? I think people would just immediately write off San Antonio and say, there's no way to build a career. There's no longevity. There's no... How do you think about long-term vision and long-term planning when you know the date that you're going to be fired on, whether you do a good or a bad job?
So for the people who don't like Cheryl Sculley, and there are people out there that have a problem with a woman being in authority, and this actually could have a boomerang impact. This would kind of cement Cheryl Sculley's position, because it would be really hard to replace her, because the next person is going to have to deal with these curtailments on the job.
Yeah, it's a great point. Again, it's incredibly short-sighted. They should have been thinking about the future of the city, and instead it's really regressive, and it's only used as a wedge. And so, you know, we've got a very difficult job in this campaign. Because most people will go into the ballot. Think about this, Dave. In the mayor's race, 110,000 people usually vote in a mayor's race that pick the mayor. Because the election will be held this November in a gubernatorial cycle, about 270,000 voters will choose the future of this city. And without being educated or being informed about the facts of these propositions, I think they're likely to vote yes on the surface without understanding the details of these propositions and the impact that they're going to have. Moody's, the bond rating agency Moody's, is already thinking about downgrading our AAA bond rating just because they're going on the ballot. If they were to pass, we would be downgraded several ticks, which means to the average person, when we want to go and build things and can, you know, as our city is going to double in size over the next 15 years, we've got to keep investing in roads and drainage.
That means more that your tax dollar is going to go to debt service, not to actually brick and mortar that improves the city.
Exactly right. It will cost us more to get less.
So you guys have a mission. You have a job. It's a challenge because we have a very sort of a jaundiced, a cynical, populist approach. Let the people decide. It sounds good on the surface, but when you dig a little deeper, you see this is, according to you, is actually going to hurt the city of San Antonio. How are you going to combat that?
Right. So our job in the campaign is to go out and make sure that everybody understands the impacts of these propositions. And we're going to run 10 separate campaigns in all 10 council districts. Fortunately, we've got a super majority of the council that is going to go out and join the effort and join the campaign to
but
go out.
But not unanimous.
It's not unanimous. We have Greg Brockhaus that has said that he will be campaigning for the propositions and against what our PAC is.
Okay, I'm confused. I thought earlier you said that he was going to follow the mayor.
Right. So we're going to say vote no, and Brockhaus is going to say vote yes on the propositions. And so we have the rest of the council saying vote no on these propositions, while Brockhaus will go out and campaign saying vote yes.
Oh, so when you say he's going to follow the mayor, you mean he's going to like trail behind him and counter the mayor.
That's right. He wants to follow the mayor around and say when the mayor of the city says no, I'm saying vote yes.
Okay, so Brockhaus is in favor of these charter changes.
That's correct.
Okay, and so is that a problem?
I do think it's a problem. I think that, again, it's, you know, here's an elected official going out and saying, you know, with all of the destructive repercussions from these propositions, for somebody to go out and say vote yes on these things, it's really ill-informed and doesn't have the best needs of the city behind a vote yes charge.
Your main concern is that people will vote in favor of this, not knowing the issue, but are there people out there that actually like this proposal, knowing the issues, and are going to support it?
Well, I hope not. And our job with the campaign is to make sure that if you're for today...
I mean, is it Tea Party? Have they weighed in on this?
No, I don't think, I don't think we've heard from the Tea Party yet as to where they will probably be a vote yes, right, to limit... you know, their idea of trying to limit government.
But you have also have joined with Kelton Morgan. He's a Republican consultant. He works just like you on campaigns. So this is a bipartisan effort?
Oh, it absolutely is. And we're going to create a campaign that is the faces of San Antonio. It doesn't matter what side of town you're on. It doesn't matter if you're a big CEO or somebody that runs a one-person ice cream stand. It impacts you dramatically. And our job is to make sure that everybody understands, no matter where you are, on what side of town you live in, or what you do for a living, this will have a dramatic, terrible effect on the future of the city.
That's Christian Archer. He's helping lead a political action committee looking to educate the public about three proposed charter changes. He wants to defeat them at the polls in November. This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our discussion to talk about three potential charter changes that could be going to voters in November. Earlier, we heard from Christian Archer. He's leading a campaign called Secure San Antonio's Future, which is going to encourage San Antonio voters to vote no against these charter changes. We're now joined by District 6 City Councilmember Greg Brockhaus to talk more about these proposed charter changes and what's in them and his position on that. And Councilman Brockhaus, welcome back to The Source.
No, happy to be here again and joining you and your listeners today. I appreciate the opportunity.
So your name came up in the Christian Archer interview. Can you kind of explain what your position is on these proposed charter changes?
Well, I think it's worth mentioning right up front that I myself did not sign the petitions. I have a lot of friends, as is well documented, in both public safety unions, and I've worked for them previously in the past, prior to being elected, actually prior to the beginning of my political campaign for the District 6 seat. So I want to make sure every listener knows that I fully own my relationship with the police officers and firefighters, and it's fantastic. I consider them true friends and allies, and I respect what they do for our community and city. But I also have a responsibility as a member of the San Antonio City Council to protect the city of San Antonio as a whole. And I take that responsibility very seriously to make sure that the District 6 residents get all the information they need to make the right decision. So I didn't sign the petitions myself. I'm coming at them from two pieces, really. Hopefully in our conversation today will be Greg the councilman and how he feels about it from that responsibility, and then Greg the citizen as somebody who's been actively involved on issue advocacy at City Hall for well over 10 years now. So my positions are right now is I'm digging in and trying to figure out the best way to get this information in front of the residents so they can make the right decision. And for me, the thing that jumps out at me, that scares me the most, is this doomsday scenario coming out of City Hall. And Mr. Archer is going to come in here and paint this picture of anarchy in the face of the public having an opportunity to have a say in their governance structure. So I'm going to come around and I'm going to be much more clear and honest and to the point about it and stay fact-driven. The thing that scares me is the way the mayor and now his hired gun, Christian Archer, are coming out now and proclaiming this doomsday scenario. And real leadership at moments like this isn't about running around with your hair on fire or like a chicken with your head cut off. Real leadership is, let's put the facts out there and make a clean case on where we're at for the community. And when all about you are losing your wits, a real leader stands there and sticks to the facts and lays out a course that makes sense. All you get out of City Hall right now is doom and gloom and really personal vicious attacks against these petitioners. Notice they're not doing it against the paid sick leave petitioners, right, who are coming in and attempting to change and put in a massive petition. They're very supportive of that organization. But when it comes to firefighters and the San Antonio First folks, the vitriol, the personal attack, should scare citizens. And I think what's important is that you start to ask questions like, why are you so adamantly opposed and painting this so badly? Are you that worried about losing your power and control at City Hall? And I'm not. In a leadership scenario, I think if we have something we can take to the public and we sell it right and we have that conversation, we're going to do well. And that's where that's how I'm coming at these petitions. So number one goal for me, get the information in a town hall format, both sides, in front of my citizens as quickly as possible so they can make an informed decision. I don't fear residents making the decision as much as Christian Archer and Ron Nirenberg do. I believe in their ability to make sound decisions and on a public vote, and I'm going to put the information in front of them so that they can do it.
So you did not sign the petitions. You didn't have a chance to. You chose not to.
I chose not to because I didn't want to. I lead 155,000 people, and my advocacy, if I signed them at that moment, I felt to myself that, you know, I'd be at that point, I'm going to sway a lot of people. And I do have, we do as elected officials, we have the pulpit to get out there and push this message. The mayor and the city and the Christian Archer are out there begging council members to come to the defense of the city on this on these petitions and to go out and spread this word and message. And I'm going to do that in my own way, putting facts and information in front of people. But I didn't want them to say, well, Greg, you signed them, so therefore you must be in favor of them. Because in fact, I do have, and I've been on the record with some concerns about the petitions. Now that I have to look at it as well from a leader of the community and a member of the council, I have a larger responsibility to the, you know, the economics and the future opportunities our city has from hiring good talent. So there are things that I am very concerned about, and I'll voice those in my own way and time. But I wasn't going to sign a petition simply because I was friends with firefighters. That's bad business and that's bad leadership. But you have to be able to sit across from your friend and tell them what you think. Sure. But I have a responsibility to 155,000 or so residents, and I chose not to sign to respect our relationship and our ability to come to that decision together as a community.
So let me go over these three petition items that could go to the polls. It's one of the charter amendments would limit the salary of the city manager to 10 times the lowest full-time employee of the city, cap the manager's tenure at 8 years. Another would give the fire union the sole right to declare when it has reached an impasse with the city on contract negotiations and unilaterally require that the city go into binding arbitration rather than seek recourse in the court system. The third would drastically reduce the threshold for any referendum. It would lower the required number of signatures to 20,000. The current standard is about 70,000, that's 10% of the number of registered voters in the previous municipal election. It also would extend the amount of time that could be spent on gathering signatures. The amendment would also remove current prohibitions preventing referenda on major issues such as council appropriations, tax levies, and utility rates. So, Councilman Brockhouse, people are concerned that if we give 20,000 people in San Antonio the ability to bring to the polls a ballot measure that would lower utility rates and lower taxes that you pay, that people will vote the city's utilities out of business and that they'll vote the city out of business by lowering taxes to a point where we can't even sustain itself.
Yeah, that's just a scare tactic of the first degree. I don't believe that at all. And unfortunately, what's being told, right, is that 20,000 people are going to go out there and change the course of the history of San Antonio or the future of San Antonio. It's not true. What this does allow, right, and I've done a petition before. I've done it with the streetcar initiative when we went out and collected 20,000 signatures. In fact, we got 35,000. I can tell you it's a very labor-intensive, cost-intensive operation. This isn't, people aren't just going to whip up and come up with signatures. We've seen probably.
But you're able to do it.
Yeah, it took us 6 months and a lot of money. And it cost a lot to get it done. There's been multiple drives where people have tried to recall council members that have been so egregious in their actions occasionally to some groups, and they can't even get 1,000 signatures of registered voters to get this done. Obtaining a petition is a very difficult time frame. It requires a lot of energy. So when I look at that, I come from it, okay, I understand it's tough and it's going to take a while to get that done. But even in that extent, right, it still goes to a public vote. All you're doing is saying, let the public decide. I'm going to give you a classic example. The Northside Independent School District comes out and passes hundreds of millions of dollars of bonds overwhelmingly, right? They're adding more debt, more taxes, more money coming out of taxpayer pockets with last one was $850 million, I think it was, largest bond in the history of Northside. And it passed. Why did it pass? Because the school district themselves made a solid argument to the public. The public will vote in favor of increases, in favor of debt and taxes, if it's spelled out, it makes sense, and they're listening, right? The elected official is listening to the public. Like Northside says, this is where these dollars are going. So I don't believe that the public is going to vote down every SAWS and CPS energy rate increase that comes down the pipe, because you can look at the fact that they have raised rates and done other things in school districts, and they get overwhelmingly passed because a good facts, good knowledge, and a good understanding of where the taxpayer resources and money are going. And I can tell you, CPS Energy can pass a rate increase in the future, and they will have those opportunities if City Hall honestly listens and tells a story about where the money is going. So I think it's a scare tactic. And the biggest hypocrisy in the whole thing is we're going to go out, right? And Ron and Christian are out there knocking on doors telling people, you should have a higher threshold to hold me accountable, right? You should have to go and get 70,000 in 40 days to hold me accountable. So I 20,000? No. That's too easy for you to hold me accountable. You elected me to make these decisions, and basically I know better than you. So I don't fear a lower threshold. What you should fear is your ability as an elected official to lead, get out on the street and tell the story and earn the rate increase, earn the SAWS increase. And I think we can do that because it's done on multiple other votes. And then the school district is a huge example of where the public will say yes when it makes sense to them and we tell them honestly where the money is going. And then we go do exactly what we say. The problem is people don't believe or trust City Hall. So, and that's where the root of all this is coming from.
So give me a quick answer before we go to break. Are you going to campaign in favor of these charter amendments?
No, I'm not going to. And I know that in an earlier segment, Mr. Archer had stated that I said I was going to go door to door in opposition of the mayor. He's categorically mischaracterized.
Okay, we'll get into that. We're going to take a quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're digging into the charter amendments that could be going to San Antonio voters in November. San Antonio Mayor Ron Nuremberg says they would deform the city charter. Greg Brockhaus from District 6 is here to give a different perspective. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. You're going to be hearing a lot about the city's charter in the next few months because there are three proposed amendments that are going to be on the ballot. If the city council approves that in August, and they're kind of have to. We'll get more into that in just a second. We got Greg Brockhaus here from District 6 to tell us more about that. So we have a deadline in August. The council has to vote on these charter amendments because they had the petitions. The petitions were certified. Now the council has to vote, and if they don't, then they could be open them up to a lawsuit.
So right. The Texas Constitution is pretty clear in this state. The law is as plain as possible. It will go on the ballot, period. The city's council's has nothing but a ministerial duty here. So once
it's a
formality. Now, we've seen it in Houston, where Houston attempted to stall it, and it was a firefighter petition over there for a pay amendment. And Houston got rejected in the district court and was told to put that item on the ballot quickly. So San Antonio needs to tread very carefully. I think the signatures are there, and they need to pass it on to the ballot as quickly as possible.
So it'll be on the November 6th ballot. This is the midterm elections. A lot of people are anticipating high turnout for these elections. Do you see that as a benefit?
Well, I think the more people are coming out engaged, the better it is, because I don't, again, turnout. People, some in elections, have a very pessimistic view as campaign managers and politicians will sit there and say, well, a smaller turnout's better. I got fewer folks I got to focus on. But I think in this case, more people involved, we're going to get a real picture of where the city of San Antonio stands on its city council and the leadership, from the city manager's office to the city council. And to a lot of the things that have been litigated over the last few years when it comes to police officers, firefighters, and really the priorities at City Hall. So I think higher turnout's a good thing, because then you have more people coming out that are basically, especially new voters, that are like, I'm kind of tired of this direction of it, and I want to make sure that my voice is heard. So I welcome as many voters as possible in the November election, obviously. I think it'd be a good thing for all of us.
So let's get clarity on something that we started talking about it when we went to break. Christian Archer, earlier in the previous segment, said that you said you were going to follow Mayor Ron Nuremberg as he campaigned, meaning that you would trace his steps to sort of counter what he was saying. Is that inaccurate?
No, and that's here we get into the politics, right? You've got a hired political consultant, an out-of-town hired political consultant.
Okay, you have been a hired political consultant, right?
Yeah. But okay. I'm from San Antonio, and I'm vested in here. Grew up here, it's my life here. And as a hired political consultant myself, you come in, you got it. But again, the facts are what they are right now. I'm a member of the San Antonio City Council. I'm a lifelong resident of San Antonio. Christian Archer is a paid political consultant, a well-paid political consultant. So he's going to turn and twist words. And what he did was he took a conversation there. I was referring to the Mayor's Housing Policy Task Force. I'm concerned about an $800 million financial grab on housing. And I told in a public setting, I said, I would go out door to door and make sure that we're putting that money and spending it in the right place and advocating against it if I had to. And what he's done is he's taken those words and he's applied it to the petition. So it's misleading. But I would anticipate, you know, that the public is not going to care too much about a door-to-door conversation. I think they want to know what the facts are and to make a good decision. So as this campaign speeds through it, and having been a political consultant in the past, I can tell you this is a highly politically charged environment. It's going to get that kind of wordsmithing and that kind of commingling of data and fact with inaccuracies is going to happen a lot. So that's why it's incumbent on council members to come out and put the right facts and information in front of voters and let them decide. And each of us is going to do it in our own way. I'm going to do a town hall. You're not going to catch me going door to door advocating against Ron Nuremberg for this. I don't have the time for that. But secondly, I think I'm not afraid of people coming in and voting on what we do at City Hall. I'm going to take a more of an educational approach and get the information out in front of citizens as quickly as possible.
All right. So for more clarity, what's your relationship with Chris Steele, the president of the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association, and the association itself? You have been a consultant for them.
Sure. I spent a lot of my bulk of my time consulting with the San Antonio Police Officers Association. About 80% of my political work was there, and 20% or so was working with the firefighters. About 6 months prior to my campaign, I relinquished those contracts because I didn't really want to run. I didn't have to, but I just felt like I wanted to make sure the public knew I was in the fight for them. So I left those two contracts, and I decided to kind of get on board and try to earn this seat as a city council member. So that relationship ended well over a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now. But look, I make no apologies for being the number one public safety supporter on city council. Those are my friends, the men and women of the Police Officers Association, the Firefighters Union. They're the top people in our city, and I consider them friends and family. And I think, you know, we have to understand the sacrifices and the things they do, yes. But this is about governance. This is about the city. This is about the city council, the city manager. It's not about my relationship with them. And people will throw that smoke screen out there as if to embarrass me. Well, guess what? I'm going to embrace it. It doesn't embarrass me that those are my most loyal supporters. I take that, and I'm very thankful for it.
So to be clear, you are no longer a paid political consultant for the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association, and that relationship was severed 6 months before you ran for city council.
Yeah, so I think we started in October of 16, I think it was when the campaign started. So I'd already relinquished those contracts at that point.
Now, it's been alleged that these charter amendments were created by the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Association, and they got the petition form in order to basically throw a monkey wrench into the fine-tuned machine at San Antonio City Hall.
Fine-tuned.
That this is something that it has nothing to do with the firefighters, other than that they want to cause mayhem downtown.
Well, again, here comes another scare tactic, right? I mean, I've been around them as far back as before the streetcar campaign. I can tell you with 100% certainty, this is not about mayhem or a firefighter contract. I think a lot of things have worked together over the years to bring this forward. The streetcar was probably the first iteration of activity from police officers and firefighters unions coming into saying enough's enough at City Hall, because I think what happens is City Hall doesn't listen to anybody. They think they know better than everybody, so they choose things that aren't priorities, core services of the city. I think that's upset people across this community. So I think this has been building for years. This isn't a contract issue alone. And I can tell you why. I mean, if we would have just dropped the petitions, this was an argument, though. Well, if they drop the petition, give them a contract, they'll drop the petitions. I'm here to tell you, I don't think that would have happened. I think we should have done is sealed this deal a long time ago. I think the mayor had an opportunity when he came into office to take a step back and say, let's drop this lawsuit before these petitions even formed, right? He had a goodwill period to come in and say, let's get this fixed now. But he didn't. He jumped full in with Cheryl Scully's ploy on these lawsuits, on suing police officers and firefighters, and guess what happened? They failed miserably. But you haven't seen any change or difference. I think the fire union has continued down this path because they believe it's more, right, than just one contract. And they have partners joining them. There's other groups that are part of this.
Like who?
They've got LULAC, right?
When you say they got LULAC, they have a LULAC chapter.
A chapter in San Antonio, right?
That is a misrepresentation of reality.
Well, fair enough. It's a good point. Don't get me wrong. He's got Tea Party folks with him. He's got a large, he's had support from multiple different organizations. Okay. And it's an odd, it looks on the surface to be an odd coalition. Don't get me wrong, right? There's a bunch of different people working in here, and you would wonder why people are coming across from different political spectrums.
So I'm going to get to this bond issue, the bond rating. This is something that's come up and seems to be a real thing that We're hearing that the bond rating for the city or for CPS Energy could become reduced in the near term, like within weeks, because of the situation right now. Is that something that you've heard about? Are you concerned with?
Yeah, and I think that's a worthwhile conversation to have as a council member, right? I think we have to dig in and get that information. That's a data point that needs to be put in front of the public. For instance, on the piece with the city manager's pay, right? We haven't even really been told what the lowest person full-time employee is. So I don't even know if that means the person can make $290 or $325. I haven't received a so I think we need more information on that.
I want to get to that, but I really want to dig into this bond rating situation. Yeah, the Moody's bond rating, the AAA bond rating, if that gets lowered, then we have to pay more for servicing of debt and borrowing of money. Money taxpayers spent not going towards services or toward brick and mortar, it's going towards debt. Are you concerned about the possibility of losing the AAA?
Yes, I think that needs to be a prime concern. I said earlier we've got some concerns about, I have some concerns about how this is going to work. So what I would want to know, I don't want to hear it from Christian Archer or Ron Nuremberg. I want to understand what that is from Moody's. So I put that good information, right? These rating agencies, how do they feel about the public having a vote in these scenarios? I think that's a worthwhile piece of
information. So if we lose that AAA in the near term, even before these things get voted on, is that something that needs to be paid attention to and factored into how people should vote?
Yes, we need to make sure that we're getting right the best bang for our buck. And that AAA bond rating is one of the signature items of our community. I just think we have to be very careful that we get the facts from the rating agencies, not political consultants on
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So we got 30 seconds. Give me the biggest takeaway you want people to have about these.
Just get informed, right? And understand that it's okay to come out and vote. And City Hall is going to have different people on different sides of the issues. But if we can at least put the facts in there and not get so personal, like it's already taken down, it's already gone down a path.
It's going to get personal.
But I understand it's going to get personal. But from a council perspective, it's facts, it's information, and it's not political consultants out there speaking on it. It's us. And I think if we get that data out there and we let the citizens decide, I don't fear a citizen making a choice and telling us how or what we should be doing with our local government. I embrace that.
Okay, we're going to be talking more about these charter amendments as Election Day proceeds. This is The Source. We've been talking with Greg Brockhaus from District 6. In this conversation about the three proposed charter changes, we're getting two different interpretations about how they will impact San Antonio's future. For a third view, we call on Bennett Sandlin, the executive director of the Texas Municipal League. It's a nonpartisan organization that advocates and advises cities and the state. And I asked him if he's ever seen charter changes like this before, especially when it comes to limiting the pay and the tenure of the city manager.
This level of micromanagement of city staff and what they do would be almost unprecedented, certainly in Texas. The city charter is kind of like its constitution, and it's generally designed to have broad outlines, how you elect the council members and so forth. But in terms of getting into micromanaging how and what staff the council can hire and for how long, I haven't seen that. And I think it's probably not a good precedent to be headed down.
A city manager is in charge of running the day-to-day operations of the municipality, a city the size of San Antonio. There are a lot of responsibilities, big and small. They all land on the city manager's desk. Having these restrictions of pay and a term limit, would that limit the ability of San Antonio to attract the talent that it would need to find the best person for the job?
I've worked with thousands of city managers over my 18 years at TML, and I'll tell you, it's a very thankless job because it has a very short tenure on average. It's hard to attract good talent in this business because you have to pack up your family and move across the state or across the country. If you make that even worse by putting a fixed term on those folks, what you're basically saying is you're only going to be here for 4 years or 8 years or 10 years or whatever the limit is. It's going to make those jobs very unattractive. And the cities that don't have those limits, if you're doing a job, why shouldn't you be able to do it for a while? Those cities are going to be able to attract all the talent. So it's probably a very bad idea to put term limits on employed persons. Now, elected officials are a different story because those folks live in town, and once they're out of office, they're still going to have whatever job they had or career before they became an elected council member. City manager is completely different. It's a career. You take your family with you to different locations, and to put an arbitrary cap on how long you can do that job makes it almost completely unattractive to most qualified candidates.
Now, another one of these proposed amendments would change the way that We put issues on the ballot. This would lower the required number of signatures to 20,000. Currently, the number is about 70,000. Also extends the amount of time that could be spent gathering these signatures. It also removes these prohibitions that would prevent things like having council appropriations, tax levies, and utilities rates subject to voter approval. How different is this?
Well, it's taking those beyond what other cities have. You want to keep some subject matter off of citizen initiative and referendum because it's too detailed. That's why we have, representative democracy. We elect mayors and council members just like we elect congressmen to make those decisions for us. If you take away all subject matter restrictions and say each and everything gets voted on directly by the citizens, why even bother with a mayor and a council? We would just put everything on the ballot, and that's not worked very well in California, for example. It almost bankrupted California with the infamous Prop 13. So it's not a good idea to put such detailed information routinely on ballots. That's what you have council members for. If you're unhappy with your council, you can always unelect them and get a new set of council members. But that's our form of government, and it works better than direct democracy on each and every issue.
The concern that some people have, and there's a growing leadership is getting involved and saying we need to really discuss these charter amendments and educate the public about what this is all about. And they're talking about when we're able to have elections that could lower your utility rates and lower your property taxes just based on an election, that could put the city in a downward spiral.
Absolutely, because the rate is based on the level of service. So if you artificially cap or lower the rate on the front end, then you're basically saying, I want less utilities, I want less convenient utilities, I want less fire response, I want an older fire truck instead of a newer fire truck. You're putting the cart before the horse. The councils around Texas are very well aware of level of service and the response time that their citizens demand, and that requires a certain amount of taxes. It's not attractive. It's not fun to talk of it that way, but that's the way the system works. If you approach it backwards and just say, I want you to cut the amount of money you spend on police and fire, you're essentially voting to lower services, and that's not what we're hearing that citizens want in most Texas cities.
What about the concerns about your bond ratings? San Antonio has a triple A rating, and there's some concern that that would be lost because it would make San Antonio a poor investment because the citizens could decide we're not going to pay our taxes.
That's absolutely right. City bond ratings are based on a reasonable estimate that the power to levy taxes or not levy taxes lies with an elected council and mayor. Once you take that power away mid-game, who knows what's going to happen to that assumption about your bond rating. That's why we have representative democracy. It's the way we do things. We elect folks to do that job for a few years, and if they do a poor job, they're not going to have it for very long, but that's the form of government we have. Direct democracy, on the other hand, sounds attractive in the short run, but it hasn't worked very well in places like California.
Do you think the other cities in Texas are going to be watching what happens here in San Antonio, that this could be a game changer?
I think cities will be very concerned to see interest groups fighting things out in the city's constitution, i.e. the charter. It's not where it's supposed to happen. It should happen in the city hall and the council chambers, not in a document like the charter, which is not supposed to be changed every 6 months based on the whims of what's popular that year.
Bennett Sandlin is the executive director of the Texas Municipal League. San Antonio voters are expected to vote on the three charter changes in the November 6th general election. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.